Let's start with the quiz itself. What were you all trying to accomplish?
So the quiz is based on a series of questions that we ask our survey respondents. And what we do is we ask 23 questions about political values on everything from attitudes about the social safety net to the size of government to immigration, environment. And we use that data to see if groups emerge that are based on political values. And then we group people together. And in the report, we detail the types of groups that we see. And then in a quiz, we ask you or your listeners to take the quiz and see where they end up on the political spectrum.
So can we talk about the process? How did you all come up with the questions that were included in the quiz?
Well, many of these questions are part of a long-standing set of questions that we at the Pew Research Center have been asking going back into the 1990s. And so we've been using those questions to do this sort of work since 1994 and even before then, and so that we can look at political attitudes over time. And so, but what we're looking for are questions that really span the set of political values that are part of American politics today that aren't specifically about policy issues. We're not asking in the quiz about your position on healthcare, for instance. We're asking about underlying political values that are associated with policy issues today.
So then at the end of this quiz, you're categorized into one of eight typologies that Pew has come up with. So can you explain how those eight groups differ from the plain liberal and conservative that the average American might think of?
Sure. Well, we have a tendency to see the world in terms of red and blue, Republican, Democrat, liberal, and conservative. And what we try to do here by asking about political values and using a statistical process, cluster analysis, to see how those values fall together is to look at whether, in fact, the world is more complicated. We all know people who have conservative values in one area. They might be they might favor small government, but also be liberal on some issues. For instance, they might be supportive of gay marriage. And those don't fit very neatly on a single spectrum, a liberal-conservative spectrum. And so what the typology quiz lets you do is state those preferences and see how you fall out. And one of the things that we find in these groups is that there's a lot of diversity in the middle. So when people talk about the middle of the American public, or sometimes people talk about independence instead of just talking about the middle of the American public, you can see that while there are a lot of people in the middle, that the people in that middle part of the political spectrum, they don't all agree. Some of them might be, you know, conservative, as I say, on something like foreign policy, or they may take an activist position on foreign policy coupled with a particular support for social safety net programs, whereas somebody else might take a more isolationist view of foreign policy coupled with a lack of support for social safety net programs. And those people in traditional political research might end up in the same middle. And we can see that they're just as diverse as looking at conventional differences between liberals and conservatives.
So of the 10,000 people that you all surveyed, did you find at the end that the American public is spread evenly across all eight of these groups within the spectrum? Or does it lean more one way or the other?
Well, one of the things that this process does, the statistical process does, is it sort of looks for groups that are roughly the same size. So we're not going to find a tremendous amount of variation between the size of one group and another, though they're not perfectly the same size. But one of the things that we do find is that the American public might be somewhat evenly spread across these particular groups, but that when you look at the people who are particularly politically engaged, you see a concentration among certain kinds of groups. So, for instance, while, you know, only 12% of the general public are in the group that we call steadfast conservatives, who are pretty across the board conservative in a lot of positions, that group accounts for about 19% of politically engaged people. And the other conservative group, business conservatives, account for 10% of the public and about 17% of the politically engaged. So those groups are, you know, overrepresented to their relative to their overall size in the politically engaged. And the same is true among the most liberal group, solid liberals, 15% of the general public, 21% of the politically engaged. So some of the groups that are in the middle that are cross-pressured ideologically are less likely to be politically engaged than some of those groups on the right and on the left.
When you say politically engaged, as opposed to just members of the general public, can you explain how Pew differentiates between the two?
Sure. Well, the measure we use in this report is looking at people who are registered to vote, but beyond just being registered to vote, they also follow public affairs and they also vote fairly regularly. So what we're trying to do here is really look at trying to understand how sometimes people critique that, you know, it looks like people who participate in politics don't quite look like the general public. They might be more staunchly liberal or staunchly conservative. And in fact, this research and other research that we've done suggests that that's the case. The people who are the most ideologically consistent are the most likely to participate in politics.
So of these eight groups, there are two that I'm kind of particularly interested in, the young outsiders and the next generation left. Can you explain to me what those two categories are, kind of what those stand for?
Sure. So I'll start with the next generation left. This is a group that is, as its name might signal, left in its leaning. It's a fairly consistently Democratic voting group. It's one of the younger groups in our political typology. Actually, I think it might be the youngest of all of the groups. Very liberal on social issues, much like the solid liberal group. But they're a little bit less liberal when it comes to issues like the social safety net. So while they do vote consistently Democratic in some ways and on measures of what we call individualism, which is a kind of measure of whether you can do things on your own, it's hard work leads to success, they score higher than their liberal counterparts. The young outsiders are a really interesting group and new to our typology this year. They have a little bit of a Republican lean, but they are not consistently Republican by any stretch. They're very much in a lot of ways up for grabs. They're also a young group, and they have very conservative views when it comes to government size of the social safety net. So programs for the poor and needy tend not to be very supportive of those, look a lot like other conservative groups on those measures. But they are they're socially liberal. Or socially relatively liberal. They support gay marriage much more than other Republican groups. But they also have an environmental cast to them. So they're a very interesting group in a lot of ways. And one of the key things is they're not particularly happy with either Republicans or Democrats. And there's a lot to suggest that they don't really feel at home in either party. And it makes sense. They have a combination of values that don't really sit very well with either current party.
Both of these categories describe young voters. One maybe leans a little bit left, the other a little bit right. But do you think we can infer anything from these typologies about the future of our country's political makeup and where we're headed?
Well, I certainly think that one of the things that we can look at is that young people in general tend to be socially liberal. And it may not be that they're consistently liberal when it comes to other sets of values, but when it comes to issues, you know, particularly the issue of gay marriage, young people have kind of moved very steadily in the direction of favoring gay marriage. And so and we've seen a shift overall in the public on that, but it's been sharpest among the youngest. But there are still a fair number of young people who are skeptical of government. And so I think one of the questions we have is sort of where the Republican Party, where the conservative movement goes when it comes to the younger generations, and whether they grab on to some of these young outsiders on some of the issues that those groups don't feel quite at home with. I think the next generation left is a little bit more straightforward. In a lot of ways, they do have quite a lot in common with the solid liberals. And so it may be that where they diverge is actually interestingly on issues about racial and ethnic policies. So solid liberals, the slightly older liberal wing of the public, is the group that's most likely to see racial discrimination as a problem in society. Whereas, you know, one could argue that the next generation left perhaps has sort of sees those sorts of things as the public policy issues of the past, of their parents' generation, and maybe they have a new way of thinking about issues of race and ethnicity.
Is there anything that we can infer from this study that will tell us anything about how voters will vote in November in the 2014 elections?
Sure. I mean, one of the things that we have seen time and time again, as do many others, is that the dynamics of a presidential year and a midterm year are very, very different. And I think we see it here in that, you know, consistently those conservative groups, the steadfast conservatives and the business conservatives, voted for Romney in 2012 and will vote Republican in 2014. And liberals voted overwhelmingly for Obama in 2012 and overwhelmingly prefer Democrats in 2014. And we see to varying degrees support among the middle groups for Democrats today. Over Republican, I mean, some of the middle groups. So the Next Generation Left, for instance, favor Democrats 61-27 today. But they actually favor Democrats to a lesser extent than they favored Obama in 2012. So one thing that we see is that, you know, the dynamics of a midterm election favor Republicans a little bit more than the dynamics of the 2012 presidential race. And the other thing to keep in mind is that those middle groups, those ones that are more up for grabs, are also the least likely to turn out and vote in a midterm election. And so, you know, what really matters is bringing out those staunch, those steadfast conservatives and business conservatives and the on the right and solid liberals on the left, because it's very, very hard to engage some of those middle voters in midterm elections.
So I hate to ask you to play campaign strategist, but my next question was, do you think the election results come down to participation within those middle groups? Particularly, I'm interested in the hard-pressed skeptics, a group that you all describe as financially stressed and pessimistic. But I think you just answered that question. It's more about inciting the base than it is really reaching out to those in the middle.
Well, that group in particular, it's true of some of the other middle groups, but that group in particular is in a lot of ways just not excited about politics. But we can also see, so it's hard for either side to motivate them. That group is a group that in 2012 voted for Obama by a clear margin, 65-25, but in 2014 favors Democrats by a much narrower margin. So one thing about that group is if you're a Democratic strategist trying to engage them, it's a lot harder to get them on your side. But they are also the least likely or among the least likely of all of the groups in our typology to turn out and vote. So it's very hard to get them to turn out.
Jocelyn Kiley is the Associate Director of Research with the Pew Research Center. You can find out more about the political typology quiz, including a link to their website to take that quiz, on our website, wvpublic.org. Jocelyn, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.